Happy Pentecost. You don't hear that very often, do you? But it's one of the great three feasts in the church: Christmas, the Easter Triduum, and Pentecost. And you see over here, the very first window we have is that of Jesus being born, the incarnation. The window over here, it wraps around in Jesus' life, is the window with the Pentecost this morning. And this is the second incarnation. Today is the birthday of the church. Christmas is the birthday of Jesus. Today, the church is born. The second incarnation. Jesus takes flesh through his church here on earth. Right there you see with the 12 apostles and Mary, there is the body of the church. But a body without a spirit is just a corpse. A body without a spirit does not grow, it's not alive. And so when they received this morning, Pentecost morning, the Spirit, the church was born. The body came to life. Now that I've given you that exciting news, I'm going to depress all of you. No, I mean, I'm going to make you sad. So stop smiling. That's better. I don't want to have to lift you or lower you too much. But I want to share with you a bleak picture and bleak statistics. 2 years ago, the Pew Research Institute ran their numbers of faith in America, and 13% of all Americans, 13% are former Catholics. They're people who grew up, were raised in the Catholic faith, and have left the church entirely. For every one Catholic who enters into the church, someone who converts to the Catholic Church, we had 5 of them 8 weeks ago at Easter Vigil. For every one who enters the church, 7 leave. And this isn't just Catholicism, this is all of Christianity throughout the country. And the majority of people who leave, the majority aren't going to another Christian faith. Instead, they're becoming nuns. And I don't mean the sweet ladies who wear habits and dedicate their lives to God and pray for you day and night. When people ask them what your religious affiliation is, they say none. I told you, it's a bleak picture. There's, of course, in the midst of this, signs of hope, and there's rays of light. There always is within the church. Wherever the Holy Spirit is, the church has life. The body is alive. Wherever the Holy Spirit is not, the church is dead. The body cannot have life without a spirit. So what happened? There's a million different things, some big things that went into it. At its very core, though, is a crisis of faith. People no longer believe that God is really alive and active in the church. And when you don't believe, when your faith is not alive, the Holy Spirit can't work because you're not asking the Holy Spirit to come to be in the midst of this. What happened to crisis of faith? What do we have across the country? Closing Catholic schools, closing Catholic hospitals, closing churches. But again, there's pockets of hope and there's pockets of life. One of them is here in this diocese. In the next 13 months, 9 men will be ordained priests. And that's no small thing. And you're no small part of that either. That your faithful prayers and your faithfulness in life, that's a huge part of why there's that life. But overall, it's this bleak picture. But when I tell you of these statistics, pay attention. What happens within your heart? What's your internal response as you hear that? Sadness. Okay, but what kind of sadness? Is it simply a deflated sadness? A depressing, oh. A hopeless sadness. A sadness mixed with a little bit of anger. A sadness mixed with fear. Or is it a different sort of sadness? A sadness in which your heart is cut to the core. A sadness in which your heart reaches out with compassion. It would be like this sort of sadness as if you go to a cancer hospital and you walk by the children's ward and you see the children who are struggling with cancer. Your heart is cut to the core with a sadness, but it's a sadness which reaches out to them, for them, wanting to do something for them. If we could see, as you walk around Dickinson, to people's souls, as God sees their souls, you would look around and you would see people are walking wounded. That their souls are hemorrhaging life and they've been wounded and they're hurting. Self-inflicted wounds and otherwise as well. But what happens in our hearts? Now, I want to show you another bleak picture. Look back up at the picture of Pentecost here. There they are, 13 of them. Just before in Acts of the Apostles, they had replaced Judas with Matthias, one of the disciples. So there you have the full 12 along with Mary. Here's a bleak picture. Just 50 days before, 52 days, 51 days before, all but two of them had abandoned Jesus at the cross. Only two of them, Mary and John, remained with him. Peter denied him three times. The other ones, out of fear, had scattered. Here's a bleak picture. That there they are, and a number of them, almost all of them, had been with Jesus for 3 years. They had seen all the miracles. They had heard him preach in the person on the kingdom of God. And yet, here they were gathered, and they were afraid. The apostles were filled with fear. What did they have? They had no money. These are fishermen, former tax collectors. They had no influence. They had no connections. They had no physical church buildings, no schools, no hospitals. But do you know what they had? What they received was just one thing. They received divine life and power. They received that morning the Holy Spirit. And that's the only thing that they went out with. Where they had been filled with fear just before, they went out now with faith and with courage. And they went out to a world which is very much like our own. A world of the walking wounded. A world in which many were very hostile to the faith. Yet they went out and they proclaimed that Jesus is alive, that he heals, and that he has conquered death. And so this gift of the Holy Spirit that they receive is the same gift that you have received as well in your baptism and awoken and broken open in your confirmation. And this gift of the Holy Spirit is one that you receive and you continually receive. But in order for it to be alive, it has to be one that you receive and is being given as well. That something that receives life, like the Dead Sea, is receiving fresh water all the time. Why is it dead though? Because the water does not go out from it. But evangelization is about receiving the life and the power of God here and in the sacraments and in prayer, and that flowing through you outward. And the more it flows out from you, the more you're able to receive more and more of the Holy Spirit, more of God's life. Okay, Father, but how? 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 You go out, you have a collar on. People come up to you all the time. You've learned all these fancy prayers that you can pray with people. How am I supposed to do this? I'll give you one way. I'll give you one way. How many times throughout a month, a year, do you have something like this happen? You're at work, and you find out one of your coworkers just found out that her husband has cancer, and they start treatment that Friday. What do you say to them? You're on the phone and you're talking with one of your children, and you can tell just by the way they're talking that they are hurting, and they're in a dark, dark place, and your heart is moved for them. What do you say to them? What I think every one of us would say is, I'll pray for you. And that's a good thing. That's an important thing. Don't stop doing that. But what else can you do? Instead of just saying, I'll pray for you, to ask them, can I pray with you? Can we pray right now? This requires courage. It requires faith. That it's not the words you say, but it's you giving God permission in that to act. So what do you say? Can we pray about your husband? Yeah, of course. God, I ask that you send healing to Jane's husband and help Jane know that you're with her. We pray within our Father who art in heaven. The apostles spoke many languages. It wasn't them. It wasn't their power that was speaking that everyone heard. It was God working through them. You're speaking to your child on the phone. Can I pray for you right now? Sure, Mom. Okay, Maria, we're just going to ask Mary to pray for you. And we trust that she'll be praying for you, that you'll get through this, and that you know that Jesus is with you. Hail Mary, full of grace. Courage, faith. It's not the fancy words you pray. It's the faith that you pray with. So lastly, who is the last person? Do you remember the last person you said that I'll pray for you to? Do you remember who that was? If you can't remember, who's someone you should be praying for? Together, let's pray for them now. We'll offer them and place these prayers in Mary's hands as we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And lastly, what's one thing in your life that you need prayer for right now? Is it something in your body? Are you hurt? Do you have cancer? Is it something in your soul? Are you filled with a despair, a hopelessness? Is it something in your mind? Do you struggle with addiction, depression, anxiety? What's one thing that I can pray for you now? All I want you to do is receive. Take that, lift it up to God, and receive. Father, I ask that you send down your Holy Spirit upon these children who love you so dearly. Father, receive their prayers, and in the name of Jesus, I command any evil which affects their body, their mind, their soul to be cast out. And in Jesus' name, I ask that they be filled with light, with hope, and with healing. Father, I ask all these things in Jesus' name, who lives and reigns forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Wonderful. So as you guys graduate, I'm sure you've gotten many great gifts. My parents, when I was graduating from high school, actually it was my mom, bought me a phone. Not like a cell phone, but like a landline phone. And it took me 19 years to figure out like what she was trying to tell me when I'm going to college. So I hope you guys have received great gifts. I'm going to give you this morning the best and the worst gift I hope you've ever received. I'm going to pray that God gives you restless hearts like St. Augustine. So hearts that never find rest in anything but God. In any joy that you find all of it and God is centered there. And so for this, I'm going to pray for you guys. Bow down and pray for God's blessing. Father, send down your Holy Spirit upon these young women and men, these graduates of 2021. Set a fire within their hearts which burns for you. Keep them close to your Son and his church. Give their hearts a restlessness that will never cease until it finds rest in you, their loving Creator and Lord. Give them the gift of your divine joy. Guide their steps through life, Lord, and let the many gifts you have given them bring life and grace to all that they encounter in this world and bring ever greater glory to your name. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Congratulations, everyone. Let's congratulate them.